Julie, do you love me when I run out of cheese? Julie, do you love me when I have to sneeze? So be my guest, you ain't got nothing to lose. Don't you let me take you on a cheese cruise.
Pizza Hut, pizza to go. I said a Pizza Hut, pizza to go. I said Pizza Hut, pizza to go. It's time for the good night, baby. A little red light song, music, appreciate your podcast. We appreciate it.
Alright guys, welcome to a very special podcast. You know why it's special, Steven?
Why is it special, Jason?
Because we got new equipment.
Oh!
Look at this fancy, smancy R16 Zoom.
I know, this is really awesome.
16 tracks, which we're only using 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tracks. But if we had guests, or if we ever talk to someone on the internet, Skype, we can plug them in here.
Sure we could.
No more losing podcast anymore.
Wow. That's amazing.
It is amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah. I got this on the eBay. Half price. The auction ended at a weird time, and so no one was there to bid against me.
And tell us what time that was.
It's like 3 in the morning. Who in the United States ends their auction at 3 in the morning?
The person that sold the R16 recorder interface controller.
Yeah. So I'm very grateful. These usually run about $400, so I got about half price.
That's a really good deal.
So thank you, Mr. Guy. It kind of smelled weird when I got it.
Oh, it did?
But it's all right.
It smelled like pot.
Cigarettes.
Oh, okay. I don't know why he said that.
Well, musicians.
Well, you never know about something.
He used it for recording, it said.
Well, sometimes musicians are...
Mm-hmm.
They have.
Why would you give this up? This nice equipment. I used this at my old church.
Where did it come from?
From Jesus. No, I'm just kidding. What state?
Yes.
Probably Indiana or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I think it's Indiana. So it wasn't that far. When anything that comes too far on the East Coast, it kind of bothers me because it never gets here on time. If it came from California, it'll get here like almost the next day.
Yeah, you've had some issues with that.
Yeah, the mail is so much slower when it comes from the East Coast. But I know from Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, that's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get too far over, you're like, oh my, Florida, it's horrible. That G.I. Joe boat that's over there behind us. Week and a half.
Holy
Almost
cow.
2 weeks.
Well, that's Florida. Everyone down there is retired.
I guess so. And I
think even the employees that work in the businesses in Florida are retired.
Yeah, they are. And I had to email the guy. I said, okay, what's going on? And, you know, am I getting ripped off here? And he said, no, the post office doesn't do the tracking right here in Florida for some reason.
Well, that's kooky.
And that's what happened. If this showed up, this one day it said it was in Oklahoma City. And it didn't show anywhere else. It showed that it was accepted in Pensacola. And then a week and a half later, Oklahoma City. I'm like, what? It didn't stop anywhere in between?
You know, I've never been to Pepsi-Cola.
Pepsi-Cola?
No. I've never been to Florida, though.
Pepsi-Cola might cause cancer, that says. Did you read that on the Facebook today?
Really?
Yeah, but everything causes cancer,
that's
unfortunately.
That's pretty much true. Living.
Yeah.
Will cause cancer, I'm afraid.
So, what did you think of that intro?
That was great.
That was
so fun to hear it, actually.
Yeah, usually in the old episodes, Steven doesn't ever hear that live. That's just post-editing. But he actually heard that live, so I can put sound effects. I can put noises that we can't put in until 2017 in here. And, you know, so I that's the first time I ever saw Steven's reaction with the little pause. Lately we've been putting something else in between that pause and our intro.
And I love the fact that you're doing that. I think that's wonderful.
Well, I love the fact that you put a pause in there.
Yeah. Well, thank
because
you.
Because originally there was a pause, but there was nothing there.
I know.
Because it was funny. But then I was thinking, oh, you know what would be funny too? I put in something else, something weird, like that onion song. that French lady sing. That's a horrible song.
It was a horrible song.
I mean, I heard that a long time ago. I'm like, this is horrible.
What did you say it was translated to, like, I don't like onions?
Something like that. I have to look that up. Maybe we'll close it with the English version of this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you do know, I do know one thing, and that's this.
What's that?
I like strong pickles, but not the Funkhouse kind.
That's a funny video. All right, so let's get back on thing here.
Okay.
So I'm Jason. This is Steven. We're going to review some music. Yay.
Yeah.
And what's this podcast called, actually?
This podcast is called Chapman and Horowitz Little Red Light Songs, where it's all about the cheese and
James Bond, 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 Bond.
Yeah.
We're still doing James Bond month, right?
We sure are.
In November?
That's coming up in November.
Yay!
Yeah, I'm excited about that. And I'm also, what I'm really excited about is this time around, you get to pick the soundtrack that we cover out of
Yay.
The five that I have.
Yay!
So I hope to someday have more than five, but I have five right now, and I'm thrilled with the five that I have. And you know what else?
What's that?
Five.
Five. So, tonight, I'm going to ask, I know you heard this because we've done the song before, and the No More of Losing podcast, but have you heard of Lead Belly?
Yes, I have.
What a great singer.
He is, and a great guitarist that he was as well. I think they called him the king of the 12-string guitar.
Yeah.
And he also...
12-string, that's amazing.
He was a...
self-taught.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was a great 12-string player, and he also played the piano. I've heard some of his... As a matter of fact, I downloaded a piece not that long ago by him when I had money called the Eagle Rock.
Huh.
I think it's called the Eagle Rock. And he's got a really unique style. I mean, totally individual style of playing piano. I really like it. And he also played the Windjammer, which is a button accordion or
yeah.
a diatonic accordion.
I remember reading that. That's yeah. really cool.
And I know there's at least one recording of him. I think it's called Suki Jump that he plays Windjammer on. So, yes, Lead Belly was great, a great Louisiana music legend for sure.
Oh, he died on my birthday, December 6, 1949.
Yeah.
I wasn't born in 49,
but
right. That's sad.
That is sad.
Huh.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he die from something like Lou Gehrig's disease or something like that?
Yeah, he did, actually. Yeah.
I thought he did.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
Sadder. No one should go through that. But
tell us about Lead Belly.
Well, he had a very interesting life. He was in prison a couple times. And
the Angola State Penitentiary.
Yeah, he wrote a song, and he actually, from that song, he got out of prison.
That's true.
He killed a man.
That's true.
And he wrote made a song for the governor. They let him out.
Yep.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
That never happened this day.
And he had such a strong, powerful voice that he didn't need a microphone to sing in. It just reverberated naturally that he didn't need a mic, which is incredible.
Unfortunately, he has been in prison twice. I forgot how he got out of this, what he did the second time, but I just think it's remarkable that he made a song and he got out of jail.
I know. And you know, only in Louisiana can something like that happen.
Exactly.
That's not going to happen anywhere else. That's Louisiana politics
exactly.
for you.
Exactly. So the song I'm going to cover is the Midnight Special, and let's see, if you listened to our podcast last week, you heard Andy Griffith's version.
And I love that rendition of the Midnight Special.
Yeah, and this one was recorded, he originally recorded it in 1934. And the other people who were singing it was Dave Cutrell, 1926, Sam Collins, 1927, and then Paul McCartney has a version in 1988, which it's...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's okay.
Oh, okay.
But, The Midnight Special is about a prisoner train.
Yes,
did
that's
you know
right.
that? Yep,
that is right.
And it's a cool song. You know, some of the lyrics has changed over the years, like "Ever Loving Light" to "Ever Living Light." And I think most people would know the Johnny Rivers version.
Yeah, that's kind of the
Ding Dong version.
probably. The rendition that Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people might know that more, actually.
Yes,
yeah.
Especially if you've seen the Twilight Zone film. And we talked about that.
So yes.
We're not going to do all that again.
Yeah, I think we should, though. I never knew they said Creedence at the end.
Yeah, John Lithgow.
I never realized that.
He's laying there and he's all, Creedence.
So that's so cool. All right, so let me just play you what I have here. All
what
right?
If Creedence Clearwater Revival was called Clarence Clearwater Revival?
That'd be fine by me. That would be fine.
I have an uncle by that. Had an uncle by that.
By me. Okay, here we go. Midnight Special, but with Lead Belly.
Yonder come a Miss Rosie, and the world do you know? Well, I know about April, and the dress she wore, Amarillo on the shoulder, piece of paper in her hand. Well, I'm going and ask the governor, he's trying to loosen my man. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a heavy loving light on me. When you get up in the morning, when that big bell rings, you go to march to the table, be the same damn thing. Not the poker on the table, there's nothing in my pain. Never said a thing about it, have a trouble with the main. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine an ever-loving light on me. Well, I went to the nation and the territory. Well, I thought about the girl I love, lived in Mexico. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine an ever-loving light on me. You ever go to Houston, boy, you better walk right. And you better not squabble, and you better not fight. Bass and Rocker will rescue you, Hayden and Boone will take you down. You gonna bet your bottom dollar, and I'll change the rebound. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a ever-loving light on me. Well, jumping little Judy, she was a mighty fine girl. Well, Judy brought jumping to this whole round world. Well, she brought it in the morning, just a one more day. She brought me the news that my wife was dead. That started me to grieving, been hollering and crying. Then I begin to worry about a very long time. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a ever-loving light on me.
All right, what do you think about that?
Oh, that's so cool.
That background is so singers cool. Were the Golden Gate Quartet.
Awesome. And you said there were just two of them.
Yes. No.
Oh, wait a minute. I get them confused with the trio of Chapman and Harwood.
Exactly. So do you love that, huh?
I do. That is awesome.
I heard that a couple weeks ago, obviously, and I just couldn't get enough of it. I never did listen to any other Lead Bellies because I wanted to. I was so devastated that the podcast,
yeah,
that part of the podcast didn't come out.
That kind of killed it for you, yeah, there for a little while.
So I'll eventually get back into it.
Yeah, and if you get a chance, well, I'll play it for you sometime. I want you to hear his piano playing, too, because it's different. It's really different.
Oh, yeah. So, I can't wait to hear it.
It's very cool.
So talk about, you saw the cover to the iPad thing.
Yes, yes.
That was a...
There is a... Yes, go ahead, Jason. Can you read him what that album is there?
It says Document Records, Lead Belly, complete records, works of 1939 to 1947 in chronological order.
Yes.
Volume 1, 1 April 1939 to 15 June 1940.
Yes, and Document Records.
And he's standing like this.
Yes, he's holding his guitar there.
Yeah, you can't see that.
I could tell immediately because the album covers for Document Records, they're always black and white, and they've got this real fancy kind of frilly border around the picture. But Document Records was founded in 1985 in Scotland.
Wow, we know somebody from Scotland.
We do.
Yeah, Scotland.
Yes.
Yeah.
Scotland.
Wait, hold on. And we're talking about our friend Stu Murray.
Yes.
Stu Murray. in your life. When you need Stu Murray, he doesn't fight. When you need Stu Murray, pizza pie. When you need Stu Murray, number 9, Roto-Rooter.
Awesome. We just cut right to the song.
So this is from Scotland, huh? These records.
Let me read you.
Were they CDs or records?
I think at one time they probably did release some stuff on vinyl.
Well, it does say records, so.
Yes. Document Records, independent record label in Scotland that specializes in reissuing vintage, blues, and jazz.
I want to do that.
Yeah, I know. Document was established in 1986 by Johnny Parth.
Oh, I went to school with him. Stu went to school with him.
Yes, he's Stu's next door neighbor. The former owner of Roots Records, and that was in Austria.
Wow.
Let me read that again here. I didn't quite execute that in the way. Document was established in 1986 by Johnny Parth, the former owner of Roots Records in Austria, to make previously unreleased blues and gospel records from before the 1942-1944 musician strike available on a number of European labels. And I have several Document CDs in my collection. I've got all the works of Cow Cow Davenport, the great Boogie Woogie and ragtime pianist. I have some of the recorded works of Roosevelt Sykes, another great boogie-woogie piano player.
Yeah.
And I have, let's see, oh, I've got Little Brother Montgomery, all of his recorded works. And he's another great piano player.
Wow.
And then Leadbelly, of course, all of Leadbelly's stuff's on there. And, oh, there's just so many blues, early blues and jazz artists whose music they have put out. And at one point, these CDs were so hard to find. And I eventually was able to get some of them. I think I ended up ordering them through R. Hooley Records out in California.
Yeah.
Which I'm not even sure if I thought, did R. Hooley sell out to some other company? I can't remember. But anyway, I had magazines. I sent for, this was when you used to send for a magazine.
Oh, yeah.
They'd send me their complete list of everything they had, and they could order some of the CDs from Document Records, and that was so cool because those were so hard to find. But now a lot of that material you can get on YouTube. I mean, not YouTube, the iTunes, like
that
Leadbelly, Skip James, Cow Cow Davenport, I think Little Brother Montgomery, Roosevelt Sykes, Sonny Boy Williamson, all these great blues and jazz artists that you can. I think a lot of that material is on the iTunes now. So
amazing.
Check out Document Records if you're into that kind of thing, because they have an amazing collection of music.
They must be still around then if they're putting on the iTunes.
I think they are. I think they'd have to be. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Or unless someone bought them out.
Yeah.
But that their material's still around then.
Yeah. And they preserve so much of the early pre-war blues and jazz music, which I think is amazing.
That's amazing.
So, yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right, before we get to your song, I got a commercial for us.
Okay, I love commercials.
We played this before, but here we go.
Well, it's always good to hear it again.
This is from Fancy Feast. Our sponsor is Fancy Feast this week. So here we go. A word from Fancy Feast.
Roaches, I'm giving you warning. Don't look at TNT. Because if you look at TNT, that's the last sight you'll ever see. TNT is dynamite, hey, the kind that blows the roach away. That roach has lived his final day on Earth. Roaches, I gave you a warning, don't look at TNT. But you did, now you're dead, cause TNT is the last sight a roach ever sees.
That was Burger King. Our sponsor was from Burger King.
Have it your way.
Yeah. You know what? Speaking of roaches,
yeah.
I remember when I worked in Burger King, when it was over here by my house.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they said, Jason, can you go get the broom out of the back room? So I went to go get the broom out of the back room. That sounds weird. And
get the broom out of the back room.
I turned the light on, and there was a roach about 2 feet long.
Holy.
It was gross. It moved a whole mop bucket.
It must have been a cockroach.
It was.
Oh, my God.
Because it had a hard shell to it. It was huge.
Holy cow.
I turned the light off, and I said, you go get the broom yourself.
I think I'm going to vomit.
Yeah, that Burger King's not around no more.
And I had a birthday party there once.
Why?
Because I liked Burger King.
Wait, what year was that?
That was, I think that was 1991.
Oh my God, that roach was still, that roach was probably there.
Oh Lord have mercy.
Because I worked there in 92.
Did you?
Yeah.
Ugh. I'm pretty sure, I'm thinking that was May of 1991.
Only Enid could have a Burger King that goes out of business. That's crazy.
Yeah. I liked going there for breakfast because I liked the sausage, egg, and cheese croissants.
Oh, yeah, they had good
and
breakfast.
And I remember during the summertime, we'd always go to garage sales Friday morning, Mom and Grandma Laura and Betty and myself, and, you know, we'd go to Burger King, and it seemed like we'd have to wait in the line forever.
Oh, yeah, Burger King's just notoriously slow. Mm. We went to Ponca City a couple weeks ago to get that rental car.
Yeah.
And we stopped at Burger King, and their Burger King is extremely slow.
So that just must be
and
a
dirty.
That just has to be.
It's just bad
what
managed,
Burger King though. Is. Yeah.
Best Burger King, the one in the mall, Quail Springs. Go to that one.
Is that the one you went to the other day? You didn't go there, did you? No, you didn't.
No.
When we were in the mall, because you got some of that.
I got the same thing you did.
Some of that pizza.
Yeah, it was good though. I'm glad I got that.
That artisan pizza, whatever it was called.
Arson pizza. Yeah, it was all burnt.
Yeah.
I kept setting fire
arson.
To it.
Arson pizza.
Arson pizza. Paging arson pizza.
Mr. Herman. Paging Mr. Pee Wee Herman.
I forgot about that. So what do you have for us today?
Okay, let me.
Oh, what happened? What happened?
Is everything okay?
Wow, what happened? Okay, keep going.
Okay. All right. Jason's working on something over there. While Jason's doing that, we're going to listen to a piece of music today by...
Pizza.
We're going to listen to some pizza music.
Yeah.
We're going to listen to a piece of music by a great New Orleans drummer named James Black.
James Black. Okay. I'll tell you a story later.
About James Black? Oh. All right. Well... Before we get into the song, I want to read you a little bit about James Black. Although he's little known outside of New Orleans and never recorded an album under his own name.
Why?
I don't really know, sir.
That's weird. Yeah. Why would he do that?
Well, he did a lot of session work. Drummer James Black was a Crescent City legend capable of performing everything from complex, modernist jazz to gritty funk.
Funk.
An accomplished composer as well, he had a reputation for being an irascible band leader, intimidating with his personality just as much as his skill. He was born in New Orleans on February 1st, 1940.
1940!
He soaked up the city's trademark second-line rhythms from a very young age, and by the early 60s was already doing session work for the likes of Fats Domino.
I like Fats Domino.
I love Fats Domino. His main interest was jazz, however, and he played in a group with the young Ellis Marsalis on piano, which Ellis Marsalis, by the way, is the father of Wynton and Branford and Jason.
Yes.
And Delphio Marsalis.
Oh.
You ever heard of Wynton Marsalis, a trumpet player?
No.
Oh,
I'm
sorry. That's all right. He's a very...
Just went to school with him.
He's my next door neighbor. Very well known. They are a very... The Marsalises in New Orleans are kind of one of the musical dynasties down there.
Amazing.
But anyhow, as I mentioned, he played in a group with Ellis Marsalis on piano and the great Nat Perillier on tenor saxophone. Nat Adderley, along with his brother Cannonball.
Cannonball, that's a cool name.
Mm-hmm.
That's his real name?
Yeah, that was his nickname. His real name was Julian. But
I was going to say, good for Mom.
Cannonball Adderley is the one that did Mercy, Mercy, Mercy.
Oh, yeah.
That's Cannonball Adderley.
I like that song.
Nat Adderley, along with his brother, used all three of those musicians that I mentioned on his 1962 session, In the Bag, to which James Black contributed two of his own compositions. The following year, Marsalis cut an underrated album of modern jazz called Monkey Puzzle.
Yuck. Oh, Monkey Puzzle. I think they said something else.
No.
They said puss.
No, Monkey Puzzle.
Gotcha.
This time out, Black handled four of the seven compositions, including the intricate 5-4 piece, Magnolia Triangle, which ranks as perhaps his greatest work. He went on to play with Yusef Lateef and Lionel Hampton in the mid-60s, although his career was interrupted by a stint in the Angola State Penitentiary.
Oh, yeah.
Where Lead Belly served.
Hey.
And where James Booker served.
Did you remember I was playing Lead Belly? Is that why you picked this guy? Or just coincidence?
I think just coincidence.
Wow, that's cool.
But, yes.
I like coincidence.
I do, too.
Coincidence.
Sing that one more time for us.
I like cheese.
But as I had mentioned, he served time in Angola, during which he actually played in a prison band with James Booker.
Yay.
And saxophonist Charles Neville, brother of
Aaron Neville. Yeah. Senior Cotton, real fast.
Yeah.
Do your little phrase of Cotton.
Okay. The touch, the feel, the fabric of our lives.
You do that so well.
Oh, thanks.
Maybe you are Aaron Neville.
I don't know. I doubt it. I don't sing that well.
I think you do.
I like cheese. Now, more about James Black. In the late 60s, he paid the bills with R&B gigs around New Orleans, and in 1968, he caught on at the Scram record label as the house drummer. He played on Eddie Bo's Hook and Sling, which is a great funk number.
Yeah.
Helping it to make one of the great New Orleans funk singles, and soon took his place alongside Smokey Johnson.
School with him.
And the Meters' Ziggy Modeleste as one of the city's top funky drummers.
What's school with him?
They're my next door neighbors. They play drums all the time.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he continued to play jazz on the side as a part of Ellis Marsalis' band, ELM Music Company.
Yeah.
They took up residency at Lou and Charlie's beginning in 1972 and became local favorites.
Yeah.
During the 1970s, Black
1970.
Also... Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. During the 1970s...
1970.
Black also led his own group, the James Black Ensemble, which also featured his longtime girlfriend, Sister Mary Bonnet, on vocals.
Ooh.
He attempted several times to record a full-length album, including once for the Sound of New Orleans label and another time at Alan Toussaint's studio.
But...
the sessions never progressed beyond a few tracks.
Oh, what happened?
Well, it doesn't really say.
Why?
I don't know. He continued performing.
Did they not have an R16 Zoom for their recordings?
That's got to be what it was.
Like us now. We have.
Can't think of anything else.
We are uptown and dynamite.
Mm-hmm. Black continued performing in New Orleans into the 1980s, still playing with Ellis Marsalis, as well as Marsalis' then-teenage pupil, Harry Connick Jr.
Wow.
And he also served as the drummer for the 1982 Marsalis family album Fathers and Sons.
Wow.
James Black died of a drug overdose.
No.
On August 30th, 1988.
That sucks.
At the age of 48 years old.
That's too young.
I know. It's
Wait.
Very sad.
48? I'm almost close up there. Yeah. Wow.
In 2002.
I don't do drugs, though.
Well, thank God.
I say no to drugs. Thank you, Nancy Reagan, for teaching me to say no to drugs.
Thank you, Nancy. I say no to drugs, too.
No.
In 2002, the Night Train label assembled a compilation of mostly unreleased tracks, many from his aborted LP sessions.
Ugh.
I Need Altitude, Rare and Unreleased New Orleans Jazz and Funk, 1968 to 1978, ran the gamut from heavy funk and psychedelic soul to soul jazz and featured several of the drummer's own vocals.
Wow.
In the spring of 2003, Ellis and Wynton Marsalis presented a program of Black's compositions as a part of the Jazz at Lincoln Center series.
Wow.
So that is a very short biography on James Black. And I actually have a few other things here I want to read to you about him.
Yeah.
Let me find this.
Do it.
According to legend, he once set his drum kit up on a New Orleans sidewalk, and he played duets with a utility worker's jackhammer.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
That's crazy.
That is amazing.
That's amazing.
He also, this was another time, he walked off the bandstand and into the New Orleans night when pianist Harry Connick Jr. couldn't cut it on his own composition, Magnolia Triangle, which was the very first tune of the set.
Wow.
Yeah. As great as Harry Connick Jr. is, can you imagine him having trouble with a song?
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, anyhow, I guess he couldn't play it. It was too hard for him, so James Black just got up, quit playing, and left.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was very gutsy. He was very I think he was known for his temper.
Yeah.
And was just a very...
That'd be like you just getting up right in the middle of the podcast because I couldn't get this thing set up.
Yeah, can you imagine that?
Wow.
He was
I bet that had to make Mr. Connick feel bad.
I'm sure it did.
Wow.
And I think Harry was still pretty young at the time.
Wow.
But
wow.
Yeah, yeah. James Black, I think he was.
Were they friends still after?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Wow.
But he was very. I think he was known for his temper.
Yeah.
And I think he was a very, very arrogant person too.
Oh, well,
He knew he was hot. You know.
Smith. Deal with that at work all day.
I know. Harry Connick Jr. He told an audience. In 1999, in Richmond, Virginia, he said, the bass player and I couldn't keep up with him. And then, after telling the audience that story, he played the song.
Wow.
He finally learned it.
Wow. Wow. Good for him.
Yes, let me read this to you. The great Harold Batiste, the great musician and arranger, and I think Harold Batiste, I think he had a record label, or he worked for a record label. He said he is probably the most aggressive and dynamic personality of the group. His playing reflects his personality very accurately. He is constantly bored with the present because the future is unexplored and his mind is in the unexplored future.
That's crazy talk.
Yeah.
That's definitely drug induced
talk. Yeah.
That's cool, though.
So, yes, James Black, one of the great New Orleans drummers. And we're going to listen to a piece that I... And now, this is what's kind of sad about it.
Oh, no.
There is no information at all.
One of those songs.
I can't tell you anything about it. I couldn't even tell you the year. I'm thinking.
Wow, you can't even tell me the year?
I'm thinking it's in the later 1960s, maybe the early 1970s.
Is this on the YouTube?
No.
How'd you get it?
I had to order the CD from Night Train Records.
And it doesn't say?
Not really. It doesn't list the information for this particular song.
Wow.
Yeah. This is not on the YouTube. This is not
iTunes. I like those. These are rare songs.
Yeah. This is
what we should, Chapman Howard, we should really about.
Right. We don't.
Play the hard stuff.
This is something you're not going to find at a Barnes & Noble, I'm afraid.
Wow.
Now, the way I heard this song was immediately following Hurricane Katrina when WWOZ was off the air in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've told you that story. Their sister station, WMFU, I believe.
FU? Oh, my goodness.
But I think that was the call letters for the station. They were up in Hoboken, New Jersey.
Wow.
And days after the hurricane... They were off the air, but if you got on their website, there was live streaming that they would do.
Oh, that's cool.
And for roughly a month and a half, maybe, month and a half, all they did, they just played MP3s of classic New Orleans rhythm and blues.
Oh, that's cool.
And, I mean, they played all the stuff I love. They played Fats. They played Booker. They played Dr. John. They played Alan Toussaint. They played Randy Newman. They played stuff. I mean, they were even playing Ray Charles in jazz.
Wow. That's cool.
Thelonious Monk. Stuff that was not New Orleans. And I kept up with that. I made lists of songs that they played that I had.
Yeah.
And, of course, I couldn't spend all my time all day and all night listening, so I might spend two or three hours
if I could. Yeah.
I might have spent 2 or 3 hours a day on the computer listening and keeping lists, and I ended up making 6 CDs of music that came from that time.
Wow.
During all that is when I heard this song, and I just thought, oh, my gosh, that's amazing, because I'd heard of James Black, but I had never heard him until then.
Yeah.
So the song I'm going to play for you tonight, I heard 11 years ago, and again, I wish I could tell you more about it, but unfortunately, I cannot. But the song is entitled Mist.
Like M-I-S-T?
Yes.
Okay.
Mist.
Gotcha. Play it. So,
all right, here it is.
Do it. We'll be right back. absolutely amazing. Mist.
That is awesome. That is a really cool piece of music.
Okay, this is what I was thinking while I was listening to that. You're in a New York nightclub or Louisiana nightclub. One of those two.
Okay. Where are you?
I was at a New York nightclub.
Okay, well then go to New York.
Okay. And the band's playing that song, and that guitar part. How does it go again?
Oh gosh.
It's just like
I don't know.
How do they do that?
He's got to be holding something on the string to and picking it with his right hand if he's a right-handed guitar player.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's got to have something on the strings to make that sound.
Yeah.
Maybe a slide.
Yeah. You're with that guitar part represents a girl named Babs you're with. She's in a really nice red dress, black raven hair. She's having a good time with you, dancing. You have a good time later. That's what that song reminds me
of. One of those nights, huh?
I love that song.
Oh, well, cool.
But you said during the song, you couldn't hear it, but you said that the rest of the album's not that great. Very commercial.
Some of the songs are. I mean, they're just real. Some of the songs are not recorded very well.
Oh, yeah.
The quality of some of them, it sounds like they have been. I don't know. It's like they've been dubbed off of a cassette tape that was dubbed off of a cassette tape that was dubbed off of a cassette tape.
That's possible, maybe.
I mean, they're just not very good quality. And some of the songs are kind of. I don't know how really to describe them. They're just almost kind of commercial sounding. I mean, the rest of that CD is not funky.
Aww.
In the way that song was. There is maybe a couple songs that are close to that. There's another one that's called, I think it's called Tune Number 6, and it's just pretty much a drum group. That's kind of cool.
Like T-W-O?
Tune. T-U-N-E.
Oh, Tune. Okay.
Yeah, Tune. And then there's another one that's called Kickin' that would be perfect bumper music for like early 80s getting ready to, you know. I wish I had that because we'd put a little bit of that on there. But that song is almost like you could hear that as bumper music, and then the voice over the announcer would come on and say, up next it's the cast of the Richard Nixon show.
Hey, you might have to play that for me. We could do that.
Yeah, we could.
We could use
that. I'll try to put Kickin' on. So.
Yeah, let's do that.
That's not on you. I mean, there's hardly, you can't find this stuff on YouTube or iTunes or anything. I mean, if you got to order it from Night Train International Records, which is up in New York.
Crazy.
So, yeah. I wish the rest of the CD had music on the level of what we just heard, but I'm afraid it doesn't. So.
Wow. Not right.
Yeah.
Come on. They missed a good moment.
That's
an amazing song.
I know. But like I was saying to Jason, I don't know any information. I couldn't tell you who the other players are. I don't even know what year it was.
That's sad.
I'm thinking probably it sounds like the later 60s.
It has to be.
Or possibly the extremely early 70s. But I'm thinking 68 or 69.
I'm going to have to say that, too. Yeah.
And that
because they just don't play music like that.
No, and that's almost what I would almost consider like psychedelic jazz or perhaps maybe acid jazz.
Exactly.
It's real trippy stuff.
That's something you would see like on I Spy or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we won't talk about that.
Bell cheese.
So that's an amazing song. Thank you for sharing that song.
Well, you're welcome.
All right. So if Babs wanted to get a hold of you, how would they get a hold of how could she get a hold of you?
She can get a hold of me at scharwood@gmail.com. And if you'd like to learn more about how to polka, how can they get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me at Good Night Sleepy Hit Show at gmail.com. All right, I'm going to close out with a special song tonight. Ready?
Okay, let's have it.
All right, here we go. I Love Onions, 1966.
From the same time.
Snakes, snails, or toads, or frogs, or strange things living under logs. I love onions. I don't like dance with crazy teddies, always jumping on my head.
Onions, onions, la la la.
pinch your toes or people who squirt you with a garden hose. But I love onions.
Onions, onions, la la la. Onions, onions, ha ha ha. Onions, onions, la la la. Onions, onions, ha ha ha.
Onion is a tuberous vegetable and is a member of the genus Stinkus deliciosa. It was highly prized by the ancient Egyptian pharaohs and their friends and cousins. It causes burning of the eyes and rubefaction of the skin, but it is very, very tasty.
How very, very crude.